Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Attention all stations. Conelrad has declared an alert emergency action message. Prepare to copy. Stand by all stations. Conelrad has declared Contra Radio Network is live and broadcasting. Stand by for this episode.
And good evening, Saturday night. Had to apologize for a 1 hour delay in our broadcast show tonight. I'm John Jeffers, host, founder, and executive producer here at the Contra Radio Network. Tonight, we're going to have the Contra One Radio Report. Yeah, I thought I would start a new segment. Brandon, I hope you found you're listening. You didn't miss the show. Got a panicked message from the young man saying, I missed it again. I said, no, you didn't miss it, man. We start in 10 minutes. I hope you found a platform to listen to it on. We're available on Pocket Cast, Player.fm, Stitcher, oh, what else? Many other platforms. Some are like Stitcher and Player.fm and Pocket Cast are really really developed platforms for mobile users, so you could listen to it on your phone if you wanted to. If you want to partake in tonight's discussion, four ways to partake. If you're listening in to the Blog Talk Radio CRN page, you should see a little blue Skype. Hit that. Come right to my switchboard. You could join the chat room. Go ahead and put down your thoughts. I'll read them. We will respond to them. Or you can call. Call in. Two phone numbers. Ready for the first one. Get your pencils and papers ready for the smartest audience in podcasting. It's right here on CRN. The first number is 516-453-9389. That's 516-453-9389 or 855-355-8458. Again, 855-355-8458. I see Ken has logged in on the chat room. Welcome, Ken. I was just thinking about you today, Ken, and what I wanted to get with you on, we need to do a roundtable report on canning foods. And I got to tell you, you, one of my listeners and a member of an elite group, know more about canning than anyone I know. And I'm talking about canning foods. And I'd like to do that probably Wednesday if you're available. But if you are, great, let me know. I'll get you a link. I want you to co-host the show with me. I want to talk about that. It's not the most exciting topic in prepping. However, it is a necessary topic for prepping. If you're a patriot and you're a prepper, these lifestyles do overlap. And I'm saying it's a lifestyle because it's a choice, and it's not something you can just do on the spur of the moment and say, okay, I'll be done in 2 weeks. I'm good to go. No, that's not how it works, people. It just doesn't. What we're really discussing is when we say a lifestyle, we mean you can never prep enough. I'm going to tell you that now. And no matter what you do, you'll always think, oh, there's another thing I forgot I got to get. Kenny says he is not available this Wednesday. You want to do it a week from today? Let me know. If you want to talk to Kenny, he's on the chat room. Feel free to join him, talk with him, ask him questions. Kenny's a really good guy. And like me, Kenny will talk to anybody about prepping, and we will share our knowledge with you and all the other good stuff. Okay. One of the things we want to touch on here, this is for patriots and preppers to an extent, really. And we got this from DestinySurvival.com, and it's And I want you to know something. Just because I put the story out here on the show, I want you to know something. I don't always agree with it. There are some stuff I don't agree with, but I'll put it out there anyways, because you know what? It may be what you need to hear. It may be what gets you out of being an armchair prepper and actually doing something. Like I've always said, and I want you all to remember this, and this is true. And is this, the more people that we can reach with this radio show and get them prepping, that's one less person, one less family knocking on your door. It's true. Because when it goes down, everybody, yeah, you can do the OPSEC, OPSEC. You know, if I hear that one more time, I swear I'm going to go take hostages. It is so ridiculous. Oh, we got OPSEC. Really? Well, how do you get members if into your prepper group if you have OPSEC? You're not supposed to talk about it. So how do you do this? So, it looks like Kenny and I are, Kenny and I are going to do the show Saturday. It's a week from tonight, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. And we're going to do a show about canning food, how to do it, and how much you need of what. Kenny knows more about this than I do. And I'm not afraid to say, I don't know everything. I can't. I don't know everything. So, I rely on people like Ken and Mitch and Marshall and Kirk and a bunch of others because, you know what? They know more than I do. Casey, he knows a lot. If you're listening, Casey, I haven't forgot about you, my friend. But it's all about all this pulling together our knowledge. And this is how we work it. And as I said, we get our... Somebody may be listening to this show. Take my friend Brandon. He just joined the CRN family, I think like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. Over-the-road truck driver. He listens to this show. He likes it. Now, because Kenny's an over-the-road truck driver, he probably doesn't have a lot of time when he gets home to try and prep. But he listens to the show, so when he does have the time, he says, you know what? I got to get this. I got to get that. I got to organize this. I got to put my supply catch here, here, and here. Then, you know what? Brandon and his family are not going to be knocking on my door or any other prepper's doors because he's prepped himself. And that's the whole point of this. Now, as I was talking about, we have this article from DestinySurvival.com. And it's how prepared should we be for a terrorist attack? This is posted November 17th by John Wesley Smith. It was my intention to write about Destiny Survival's 8th anniversary today, but recent events have upstaged that. Instead, I'm asking, how prepared should we be for a terrorist attack? Look, this isn't going to be an article on how to prepare for an attack. Those are already out there, and if you want to look them up, you can. So allow me to remind you that I've included information previously on active shooter situations, which you can see here. Bear in mind, you can't see it. We're on radio, but you can go to the Facebook page for Contra Radio Network, CRN, and you can read it for yourself and click on all the little links. So don't panic about it. You don't have to write stuff down. Just remember where it is. You ought to have a copy of How to Handle a Crisis by Dennis Evers and Jim Cobb's Prepper's Home Defense. My thoughts today go in a different direction. Some will be upset by what follows. In the wake of the attacks in Paris, I've been disappointed by responses I've heard and read from people I respect, including personal friends, people in the prepper community, and some members of the alternative media. They've bought into fear-mongering and have joined the masses in a call for a certain militaristic solution. I'm not here to propose a broad solution. I simply want to take a deep breath and not panic. First of all, don't believe everything coming from the mainstream media or the alternative media. For that matter, put on your thinking cap and take everything with at least a grain of salt, maybe two or three grains if it's MSNBC. If it's MSNBC, you might want to take Ipecac syrup and just puke it all up anyways. The operative approach I propose is to realize that things are not what they seem. They haven't been for a long time now. The events related to 9/11/01 are a prime example. While our thoughts and prayers go out to those affected by the Paris attacks, as they well should, don't give in to fear. Yes, a reported 129 people were killed suddenly and violently, but how many people died across America over the last couple of days in car crashes? The truth is, we face greater threats in our everyday lives than we do from being attacked by terrorists. Those are the things we need to prepare for first. Did you know you and I have a greater chance of being struck by lightning than being a victim of a terrorist attack? And I'm saying it couldn't happen. No. But let's put things in the proper perspective. Some say it's a matter of when, not if, that we'll be attacked in America. Frankly, I'm more concerned about the aftermath. The government's immediate reaction is to step up security, regardless of whether a credible threat exists. They say they'll keep us safe. Meanwhile, we're being conditioned to be afraid of our own shadows. Do you feel more comfortable going to ball games now? Are you okay with being violated physically or by X-ray at airports? Because you'll never see me on a commercial plane. Will a SWAT team come to your door and mine because we're preppers? If you're in California, they might. Or because we have said something believed to be contrary to our current government's views? It's something to think about. In case you believe terrorists hate us because we're free, take a look at the article by Paul Craig Roberts called The Punishment Society and see if you, you know, feel the same way. If you want well-thought-out perspectives on what's really going on in the world, let me recommend you visit 21stcenturywire.com. That's 21st, centurywire.com. They're one of the best. Be sure to check out the Sunday Wire, the weekly news overview podcast. No yelling, no fear-mongering, just a simply brilliant outlook. Draw your own conclusions. For my fellow believers in Christ, Paul's words quoted below to the young pastor Timothy are more relevant now than ever. So apply them to your life and let God give you peace of mind. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7, the Holy Bible, King James Version. What do you think? Is he right? Kenny, what do you think? Kenny says that we're going to one of the things he wants to talk about come Saturday is this. So next Saturday, a week from today. Kenny says that there are always things to learn. Practice, practice, no matter what it is, whether it's canning, dentistry, medical, gardening, etc. Kenny also says better to start small and learn about things. And winter is here. Camp outside for a couple of days. Let me think on that one, my friend. In case you haven't noticed, the North Korean leader Kim Un-jong has sent out his New Year's greetings to the world by saying he is prepared for war. So greetings, holiday greetings from the Korean Peninsula. Yes. Now, where are we? Here's some of the things. This is the title subject for tonight's show, episode one. We're in episode 109. Okay. UrbanSurvivalSite.com. Just so you know, I'm drinking sparkling ice cherry limeade. It's perfect for us people who are diabetic. I love it. Great flavors. Oh, love it. Okay. 10 free things you can do to prepare for a disaster. If you've ever watched a show about prepping or looked into it even a little, you've no doubt realized how expensive it can get. It's easy to get discouraged and assume prepping is only for wealthy people. But don't ever think that. There are plenty of things you can do to prepare that don't cost a penny. You don't have to have a fancy underground bunker loaded to the roof with food and goodies to survive. A catch of supplies is only half of what prepping is all about. There are plenty of other things that must be done, including planning and learning. Those things do not require any money, just your time. In fact, when you really think about this list, you will discover the free stuff is actually the most important. It isn't all about buying the best gear or loading up on expensive freeze-dried food. Prepping is a state of mind. And that doesn't cost a thing. So here are 10 ways to prepare for disaster that are completely free. Number one, Recycle stuff you find in your yard or around your town. For example, check the free section on Craigslist. People give stuff away all the time. Remember, one man's junk is another man's treasure. It's all about recycling, or what you may refer to as repurposing. Look for ways to use discarded items. For example, if you see broken tools, take them and repair them. It's fairly simple to replace a shovel handle or things of that nature. So if you're creative enough, you can find all sorts of uses for that junk sitting on the corner. Number two, and this is important to all of us, including me, and I've harped about it, I'm going to harp about it now, and apparently it's worthwhile. Work out and get in shape. You don't need a gym membership to get in shape. Hey, walk around your neighborhood, do yard work, split wood, do lots of hiking, or anything else that gets your blood pumping. Getting in shape will give you a huge advantage after a disaster. Many people fail to realize that disaster survival is hard work. You don't want to be suffering from aching muscles and fatigue because you're not used to walking long distances. For some people, being out of shape and then suddenly having to be very active could be dangerous. We're going to take a little detour here. You've heard me say it before, and for you new people listening, I'm going to say it again for you. If you are not used to working and you are physically, let's put it this way. I don't want to say out of shape. Let's just put it this way. Let's say you're overweight. I get it. You work 40, 50, 60 hours a week. There's no time. Most of the time you're working and sleeping. I get it. But let me tell you something. All it takes is a half hour of walking. A half hour, 30 minutes. You could get 30 minutes. Grab the dog, go for a walk. Grab the wife, go for a walk. Or if you don't like your wife, leave her at home and you go for a walk. Either way, because remember this, I want you to know this, know in certain terms. If you have a heart attack, it will be the worst pain you've ever felt in your life. You will feel like there is a Ford F-350 truck parked on your chest. You can't breathe. And the pain is going to be so intense and so great, you will puke on yourself. And that's just before dying. Take the time now, when the grid is up, go walking. And if you're like my friend Ken, let me tell you something. This is what Kenny does, all right? As Kenny says, I'm old and fat, but I can walk 12 miles in 8 hours with a 40-pound pack. And he just doesn't throw it on there. Hey, guest 2441, welcome to the show. Glad you're here. You need to, when you're walking, you need to familiarize yourself with the terrain that you see around you, around your house, around your neighborhood. All you got to do is walk. Walk. You don't have to run. You're not running for your life. You're walking. And you start out slowly. You don't have to go out and do 12 miles in 8 hours. Why don't you just start with maybe doing a quarter mile? When you get done, you get done. If it takes a half hour, 45 minutes, so what? You are now, by walking and starting to get into shape, you're now ahead of everyone else still sitting on the couch, drinking their sparkling ice, like myself, or eating their McDonald's or Burger King or Hardee's, which, by the way, I love Hardee's. The point is, you got, especially in the cold weather, look, I get it. No one wants to be out there. I get it. But, hey, you're only out there for a half hour. You got winter gear. Put it on, go. In the summertime, it's a lot easier. Believe me, it is. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're part of my group and you have a heart attack, I'm leaving you on the side of the road because we don't have time to bury your ass. We got places to go. We're going to go. If we got a mission to do, we have a mission to do to fulfill the responsibilities to ourselves, to our families, and loved ones. So if you are too responsible to take action to maintain prepper fit, I'm not talking gym fit, I'm talking prepper fit, two different things. And you have a heart attack, I'm just going to roll you. I'm not, I may not even roll you in the ditch. I just may lay you on the side of the road. I got too many other important things going on if the grid goes down. I'm not being a hard ass. I'm telling you how it is. Kenny else says, the knowledge is way more important than what, Kenny? He says, knowledge is way more important. He says, but and if shit hits the fan, it will occur at the worst possible time. He's right. When you have a heart attack, it will happen at the worst possible time. Okay, I'm on my soapbox. I'm going to step down and continue on. Number three, I want you to collect tender bundle material and stash it in your bug-out bags. Save dryer lint in Ziploc bags. Shred junk mail and newspaper. Collect moss from trees and put it in your bug-out bag to use as tender. Dry tinder may not always be easy to find, so having a stash in your emergency supplies ensures you'll be one step closer to having a warm fire. Hey, remember, dryer lint, it doesn't weigh anything. Okay? Create some rain barrels and harvest rainwater, if you could do it without getting the EPA jumping down your back. Before you do this, there you go. Check your county and city codes. Some places actually have made this illegal for you to harvest rainwater from the sky. From those who are free to collect the rainwater, use a new plastic trash can or an old food-grade barrel. Oftentimes, restaurants will give these away for free. The barrels are typically blue or brown, and it doesn't hurt to ask the restaurant managers if you can have their old barrels. And you check Craigslist as well. Number five, put together a safe room. This is the room you and your family will hunker down in during an emergency. Put emergency supplies in the closet. You also need things like plastic, duct tape, and towels to seal up the room in case of airborne toxins. Stash some other emergency supplies in the closet so it's ready if you have to move quickly. Take free training classes. I will tell you right now, I know two guys, I know one guy that'll travel all over the country just to do your training. That's Todd over at Top Notch Instruction. And Ken Kaufman here locally in Northern Illinois. He'll come on. He'll do a training for you. But you got to buy him lunch. That's the deal. But take training classes. You need to constantly be looking for the opportunities. Check with your local co-op, community college, library, and local prepping groups, such as the 11th APG, to see what you can find. Things like home canning, Kenny, self-defense, me, gardening, Kenny, are some of the classes that are often given for free. 7, you can train a dog. You don't have to pay an expensive trainer to make your dog an asset in a survival situation. In addition to basic commands like sit and be quiet, you should also train your dog to hunt, fetch, and search. Okay, right. You can find plenty of free training resources online, especially on the tube. Kenny says that blankets are always good. I see, speaking of top-notch instruction, I see that Todd is logged in. I just talked about you, Todd. And just so Todd's up on, you know, up to speed with it. If you want a training class, get a hold of Todd at Top Notch Instruction. Go to his website, topnotchinstruction.com. Give him a call. He will call anybody. He will go anywhere. He is that dedicated not only to his business, but to the business and then spreading the knowledge of, well, surviving. Prepping. Number 8, make a bug out plan. All right, this is when you grab a piece of paper, pen, and a map of your general area and plan an escape route. You'll want to have at least 2 plans, but 3 would be even better. Walk the terrain with your family and get a feel for it. You need to memorize this route so you can navigate it even in the dark. Now look, the Israeli military, their paratroopers or military, they train at night. It's easy to train during the day. You can see everything. It's a little bit more difficult to train at night because there are some things that you don't see at night that are there. If you can do it at night, you can do it in the daytime. And true, things look different at night than they do in the day. It could be the same object, but it's going to look different. You need to get ready. That's what they're talking about that. Kenny says, here's something from Kenny. Kenny says, you need to plan where you are going. How are we going to get there? How do we do this? What do I take? Do I meet up with people? Do I meet up with them later? Do we move out as a unit? Do we move out as, you know, single cells. These are things you got to take up with your prepper group. And there is not going to be any right answer. When it comes to you and your family, you've got to make a decision for them. Number 9, create checklist and keep a running inventory. This is important. You can make your own, or you can use one of the many free checklists on various survival sites. Create checklists for your food, water, and emergency gear to help you keep track of what you have and what you still need. You will always need more ammunition, more food, more water. Done. Use your checklist to make notes about how much of a certain item you have. This will help you keep a more balanced supply of goods. And don't forget about first aid. You're going to need medical supplies. And I'm not talking about that cheap first aid kit you see at Ace Hardware or Walmart that comes with 8 different types of Band-Aids. Because that's not going to do it for you. It's not going to happen that way. You need to get a true first aid kit. I wonder what Todd would have to say. I'm sure Todd would say get a good military first aid kit that contains everything that you're going to need, including the proper tools and how to use them, because you may have to use it on yourself, and you better know what the hell you're doing. What does Todd say? Todd says camp in the winter. Kenny says, I camp every year for a weekend in my backyard. Todd says, I camp in the snow every year just because. Kenny says, last year it was 3 for the first night. -3 for the first night. All right. Number 10, do plenty of research about surviving disasters. Reading blogs, books, and talking with fellow preppers and survivalists will give you a wealth of information that you can use. Learn all that you can from others who are living and breathing, prepping, and making mistakes that you can learn from. Look, don't be afraid to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. It's okay. You make the mistakes when the grid is up so you can learn from them. You don't want to try trying to practice your skills when the grid is down, you're under the gun, you're under the pressure. That's when mistakes get made, people get hurt, people get killed. Okay, now that I'm scaring the hell out of you about prepping and you don't want to do it anymore, take a breather, all right? These are 10 things that are completely free and very important. Prepping isn't all about what you can buy. It's a lifestyle, as we've said. You have to stay organized and be aware of what you have as well as what is happening around you. Remember the closing tagline of this show? Be alert, be safe, be vigilant. Believe it or not, it's possible for a poor prepper to be more prepared than a wealthy prepper. All right. Let me take a quick break here, if you don't mind. I'd really appreciate it. You know what? Here, Todd's on. Let's give props to Todd and top-notch instruction.
John Jeffers here from Contra Radio Network, speaking to you on TopNotchInstruction.com. TopNotch Instruction, located in Northern Illinois, can cover your firearm certification needs. From the Illinois Concealed Carry through the basic NRA packages, including Range Safety Officer and the basic rifle, CMP Rifle Marksmanship, Defensive Pistol, and Urban Rifle. Now, hey, listen up. If you do like first aid and first aid's your thing and you need a medic or you're a prepper group, you can send them there for the American Red Cross First Aid, AED and CPR certification, and Wilderness First Aid, which, by the way, if you're a prepper and a patriot, I suggest you take that class. However, outdoors. Hey, you like outdoors? How about outdoor survival, orienteering, backpacking, and the Illinois Hunter Safety Course? All these are available for a very reasonable price at TopNotchInstruction.com. Give Todd a call, or better yet, go to his website, TopNotchInstruction.com, TopNotchInstruction.com. And do I trust him? Yes, I do. I even had my wife go through the Illinois Concealed Carry course there at TopNotch Instruction. I was even invited to stay and ask questions. So I do trust him, and you should trust him too. So see you there at TopNotch Instruction.
Now back to the program.
All right. Our next story has to do with something called Dakin's Solution. It's a homemade antiseptic. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to tell you how to make it. So Look, because I tell you how to make it and you screw yourself up, that's your problem. No one's forcing you to do it. If you're not sure what you're doing, don't do it. This is called Dakin's Solution, D-A-K-I-N-S. Dakin's Solution, a homemade antiseptic. Now, Dakin's Solution is an antiseptic solution developed during World War I to treat infected wounds. It is a viable solution that is being used even today, and it's a perfect homemade antiseptic for preppers and survivalists. Dakin's Solution is an antiseptic solution containing sodium hypochlorite, which is common household bleach, and water. Dakin's Solution is not the only antiseptic available, and on the market, you can find stronger germicidal solutions, like the ones containing carbolic acid, which is phenol, which is also called Lysol, or iodine. These solutions can be purchased and used to prevent infections, but they have a downside. Stronger solutions can damage living cells or lose their potency in the presence of blood. You should know that Dakin's Solution does neither, and that's why it's indicated as a good antiseptic. So where did it come from? Oh, yes. It all started with Henry Drysdale Dakin, a brilliant English chemist, and his work on amino acids and water analysis. He studied chemistry at the University of Leeds, and he managed to get his PhD under the supervision of the great Christian Herder. In 1914, Dakin offered his service with the war effort, and he proved to be a valuable asset. He worked at a temporary hospital in Compiègne in 1916, the time when he invented the Dakin solution as a wound treatment. Dakin's Solution was an unstable, highly diluted antiseptic that was used to intermittently irrigate the wound. Since the solution deteriorates after 6 hours, it must be made as needed. So based on his discoveries, a modified and more stable Dakin's Solution was invented. So why should you make Dakin's Solution? Well, Dakin's Solution is easy to make as a prepper, and you should already have all the needed ingredients. Besides being a good homemade antiseptic, it also acts as a solvent to dead cells and hastens the separation of dead from living tissue. Dakin's Solution is prepared by passing chlorine into a solution of sodium hydroxide or sodium carbonate. It can be used on humans without any risk, and it can be used on animals. It does not sting or burn as you might expect, and it's a proven solution that has been credited with saving thousands of lives since World War I. So how to make Dakin's Solution. All right, pencils and papers, ready to go. You'll need the following equipment: a sterile jar with a sterile lid, a clean pan with lid, and sterile measuring scoops and cups. As for the ingredients, you'll need water, baking soda, and bleach. You should already have these items or ingredients in your home, as they are basic emergency preparedness supplies. Yes? You're with me still? All right. Once you have all the equipment ready and you gather the needed ingredients, you should do the following to prepare Dakin's Solution. Measure out 32 ounces, that's 4 cups, of tap water. Pour the water into a clean pan you prepared. Boil the water 15 minutes with the lid on the pan. Remove the pan from the heat. Using the sterile measuring spoon, add a half teaspoon of baking soda to the boiled water. Now it's time to add bleach and complete the Dakin's Solution. You can make one of several strengths, and you should measure bleach according to the chart below. I'm going to read the chart to you. Full strength, 3 ounces or 95 milliliters. Half strength is 3 tablespoons, and a half teaspoon or 48 millimeters. Quarter strength, 1 tablespoon and 2 teaspoons or 24 milliliters. An eighth strength, 2.5 teaspoons or 12 to 14 milliliters. Now, once the Dakin's Solution is done, you place it in the sterile jar and close it tightly with the lid. You should label the jar and write the date and time when the Dakin's Solution was made. You should store Dakin's Solution at room temperature, tightly sealed and away from light. You should make sure to sterilize everything and wash your hands with water and soap before you make the Dakin's Solution. Cleanliness is very important if you want to make a good batch of this homemade antiseptic. Remember to throw away any unused Dakin's Solution 48 hours after opening. For those victims of the public school system, 48 hours, that's 2 days. Unopened jars can be stored for 2 to 3 weeks after you have prepared Dakin's solution. Now, as precautions, listen up. As with any medical solution, you should keep Dakin's solution out of the reach of children. That's important. If you use it as a mouthwash or to treat a dental abscess, do not swallow it. It's bleach. If you failed basic chemistry, do not swallow bleach. If your parents lived on a commune, vote Democratic, do not swallow bleach. You shouldn't use Dakin solution longer than 1 week. You shouldn't use a solution if you're allergic to any of the ingredients. Stop using Dakin solution if your condition worsens or you develop any type of reactions like a rash. I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on TV, nor do I play one on the radio. And this is a homemade remedy. Therefore, I recommend you should research anything you read so you are assured of its use and the accuracy of the information provided. It worked for me. It doesn't mean it can work for you as well. You might be allergic to some of the ingredients, or you might not use clean equipment. Now, see a doctor if you have pain or burning sensation after using Dakin solution, a rash or itching sensation, if the skin around the wound turns red and swells, if you develop hives or blisters, that's probably a chemical weapon you've just been exposed to, and you have been, if you notice signs of symptoms or wound infection, that is, if it's red, it's swollen, it's warm to the touch, there you go. There is a homemade antiseptic that is used by many, and you should learn how to make it for when there is no doctor around. When the shit hits the fan, you'll have to make good use of your knowledge, and you should be able to improvise solutions that will heal you. Dakin solution will be very useful when nothing else is at hand. And we got that from theprepperswill.com, prepperswill.com. You like it? No? Yes? Okay. Well, while I was doing that, Todd and Ken were going crazy on the chat room. Let's see what we have here. They're just talking about insulating boots. Okay. Here's another one we found that I wanted to share with you. Where did we find this one? Backdoorsurvival.com. Backdoorsurvival.com. Are you ready for the hard times? 9 things you can do now. And this is going to deal with economic collapse. Number one, accumulate cash and store it under your mattress, preferably in small denominations. No, I don't really mean that you should store cash under your mattress, so do not come over and look under mine. Rather, you will want to store cash in some well-hidden place or places you can get at, you know, in secret if needed. Although I've not done so yet, I plan to locate a cache of bills underground in 2 or 3 different locations. Now that I think about it, burying a supply of heirloom seeds, well-sealed in a Mylar bag, might be a good idea as well. Number two, practice blending in and looking normal and nondescript. That's called being the gray man. Even if you're normally reclusive and keep to yourself, get out in the community and be seen. Wear drab clothing and look ordinary. The point is that you want to be seen as a regular, but not notice because you appear different or worse as a stranger to the community. Do not go out in camouflage. Don't. Do not go out there like you're dressed for combat. Bad idea. Defeats everything you're trying to do. Number three, practice haggling and the art of barter for goods and services. I see guest 2653 has logged back in. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And we say goodnight to Todd. He had a run. He's going to be back here Wednesday night. And, of course, guest 2653 is logged out. Good night to you, sir, or madam. A good place to start is at the flea market or thrift shops. In my big city days, I have even tried this in the boutiques, but I never did have enough nerve to do so while shopping for shoes at Nordstrom. For many, this will take you outside of your comfort zone, so start modestly and work your way toward more sophisticated barter transactions. Number four. Take care of major or minor health concerns now. Kenny says the blending in, being the gray man, will be critical for the first few weeks. Absolutely agreed. Absolutely agree. Get your teeth cleaned and take care of any dental work that needs to be done. If there is a medical procedure you have been putting off, do so now. Are you overweight and in poor physical shape? Cut out the sweets for a while and start walking to build your stamina. Number five, keep your vehicles in top working condition and always top them off with fuel. A vehicle does not have to be a shiny new model in order to function well. As a matter of fact, part of blending in means you have an older vehicle, but one that is well taken care of. Here is Washington State. Many of us have Subarus because they are four-wheel drive and run forever. Have a white Subaru in my state. That's the surest way to hide in plain sight. You know what I'm saying? Number six, take care of home repairs that have been on the deferred maintenance list forever, and we're all guilty of it. We are. We are all guilty of it. This one is near and dear. My home was built in 2006, so it is fairly new. On the other hand, it is getting to the point where walls need to be touched up, boards in the porch need to be nailed down, plumbing fixtures need to be checked for leaks, and a lot more. All those little things around the house that have been put off may be a mere annoyance now, but down the road, you know, anything and everything in disrepair can and will come back to bite you in the ass. That's true. Kenny says, I have learned dental problems can usually be solved with an extraction. Ooh. Trying to play Tom Hanks there in Castaway, using an ice skate to knock out your tooth. That's brutal. How about learn to cook bulk foods from food storage? Now, in a recent comment, a backdoor survival reader took issue with the store what you eat mantra of food storage. And in a way, she was right, but with this twist. Without question, beans, rice, oats, wheat, and other like are going to be the cheapest food storage items out there. Rather than shun them because you don't eat them now, learn to prepare them in such a way that they become palatable to your family. For very little money, you can store a year's worth of bulk foods. Perhaps they will not be as tasty as a juicy hamburger, but you will not starve. I would suggest you start with the ubiquitous pinto bean. Yes, the pinto bean. Number eight, if you don't understand why about the pinto bean, you need to research the lowly pinto bean, and you'll realize why it's a very good nutritional supplement you need to have. So make alternate arrangements for alternate living quarters just in case. This is a two-way street. If something should happen and you could not live in your home, where would you go? It would be nice to have a reciprocal arrangement with family or friends, even if they are not preppers. Speaking for myself, I have set up such an arrangement with friends and likewise have prepared my small home with those things that will be needed in the event my non-prepper brother and his family needs a place to stay. Okay, we're going to talk about this right now. You are going to have to come to terms in your own mind, whether you are a prepper leader, a patriot leader, you are a group leader, you know, you're in some kind of leadership position with your prepper group or your patriot group. There is going to come a time that you are not going to be able to take in people who have been irresponsible with their lives and chosen not to prepare for anything. They're going to rely on the government and enjoy their stay at the regional FEMA camp. They're going to come knocking on your door, especially family members. Family members think you're nuts anyways for being a prepper. They want to talk about it to you. They don't care. They think you're crazy. Up until the grid goes down. And then it's going to be too late. You have to make sure in your mind what you're going and willing to do, if anything. And I'm talking about saying no. Could you say no to your brother, but yes to his kids, which would be, you know, maybe it's your nephew or your niece? Are you going to say yes to the whole family and then short yourself and your family from the, you know, your supply catch that you took time and responsibility to build? I mean, these are things that need to be talked about, things that you have to be ready to implement. And it's not going to be pleasant, and it's not going to be nice. So bear that in your mind now. If you want to be a prepper leader, this is one of the questions you're going to be dealing with. That's going to be the reality of the situation. What about this? What about your best friend? He's your number two guy you go to in your prepper group. And your best friend's brother or his sister with her two kids who've decided that, you know, they're just going to live the Xbox lifestyle and carry on like there's not a care in the world and nothing could happen and that civilization will always be around. And then, of course, the grid goes down. Your best friend comes to you and says, hey, John, this is my sister, her kids. They don't have anything. They need to, I need to get them in the group. What's your response going to be? Grid's down. There's not any resupply coming for a while, if ever again. What do you tell your best friend? You could say, well, okay, fine, Kenny. Tell you what, why don't you bring your sister and her kids here, but they're going to live off your food supplies, not the group's. What if Kenny's sister happens to have a skill, a needed skill? Let's say she has an extensive medical background. She's a nurse, an RN, an LPN, whatever. She's got a medical background. Does that make a difference as to your outlook and whether you let her into the group or not with her two kids? Things you have to look at. Now, I'm not sure what to say with it. Here's something from Kenny, and I think Kenny's right. And he says, you need to draw up your list of who is welcome now, not after the shit hits the fan, but now. And if that's the case, you got to start getting their supplies too. Now, they may not want to do the work, but what if they say, hey, I know you got a proper group, I really don't want to spend my time doing it, but what if I give you $100 a month or $200 a month to go and buy my supplies? Are you willing to do that? And if so, are you willing to let them in the group? I mean, this is what we're talking about here. All right, let's get back to it. You need to learn to become self-entertaining without spending money. Like an old broken record that has been repeating skip, I am again telling you to become self-entertaining. Learn to enjoy your free time without being dependent upon money, cable TV, or trips to the shopping mall. Read, ride a bicycle, play cards or board games, dance or go for a hike. See, he said, you know, they say go for a hike. That's not a hike. No, that's a recon patrol. Ha ha. I know. There are way more pursuits to keep you occupied than I can list here. And yet it amazes me how many people cannot stand to be by themselves. Now, Kenny puts this quote from the chat room. He says, you may decide to add additional stuff based on your list. Absolutely. I agree. Now, the final word is this. As cliche as it may sound, overwhelming. It is. It truly is. Likewise, it is a lifestyle choice that will provide insurance against disruptive and possibly catastrophic events. I find it interesting that whereas the U.S. government promotes preparedness, they tout economic recovery rather than prepping for hard times. So let us take control of our future and prepare for hard times. This may or may not occur, but at least we, the preppers and the patriots, will be ready. What do you think? Yes, no? Good information, bad information? Look, not every story I do is going to be entertaining to you. You may not care about it, and that's okay. You're a smart audience. You pick and choose which stories, which information is right for you and is good for you and your group. It's like going to church. All right, it's like going to church, all right? You go to church and listen to the sermon. And one week, man, you are getting filled with the Spirit. You're getting the information you need. My God, this was good stuff, good stuff, good stuff. Love it, love it, love it. The next week you go and you're thinking, oh, for the love of God, will you please end the sermon? It's going on far too long. I feel old age dragging me into the grave. That means that sermon was not meant for you. But it was meant for somebody else that needed to hear that information. And likewise, I am here preaching to you about prepper stuff, information, stuff that maybe it doesn't apply to you. For example, if I talk about canning food to Kenny, Kenny's going to laugh and say, I already know it. And you'll know it too, because Saturday, a week from tonight at 8 o'clock, Kenny's going to be here. We're going to be talking about the show about canning food. But there might be somebody else. Maybe Brandon, my over-the-road truck driver out west somewhere on the roads tonight, God bless, be careful out there, my friend, is this. Maybe he needs to hear it. Maybe Brandon doesn't have a clue about Kenny. He's heard about it, but he doesn't know how to do it. And you know what I would do for him? Brandon calls in on Saturday and says, you know what? I need to know some things. I need some information how to can. I don't know where to start. You know what I'm going to do? I'm hoping Kenny gets hold of Brandon, gives him his email or a phone number and say, Brandon, call me. After the show, you call me. I'm going to help you get started so you know what you're doing. And you know, I know Kenny. Kenny would do that. He would do it. And Brandon, if that happens, set aside at least 4 hours. Because Kenny's going to give you more information you'll never know what to do with. But he'll have it, and you'll have it too. Now, Ken says, you know, preppers need to do things without money. After shit hits the fan, you likely will not be able to use money for anything because it will be useless, unless, of course, you have precious metals. And then he says, you know, he agrees that great, you know, it's great information to get you thinking about things. And Kenny wants to, tell it to jump in the hole and follow the bright light. It could happen. The point is this. Not every story I do is going to appeal to you. I get it. I understand that. There's a lot of stories I do that don't appeal to me, but I do it because I know somebody out there may need this information as you, the smartest audience in podcasting, as far as I'm concerned. How about this? Not only are you the smartest, you're the most responsible audience. You pay attention to things. You see things, you hear things, you learn things. And the best thing is, you know what you don't know. Does that make sense? Sometimes people say you don't know what you don't know. How about this? You know what you don't know. And that's why you listen. That's why we're going to talk about canning for food. It's not exciting, but it's definitely on the list of things to do. If you can can food, you learn to can food. You don't need to spend, you know, $200 for 2 weeks of freeze-dried food that you need water to do anyways. With canning, you'll have that water in the can with the food, and guess what? You can drink it. Ta-da, saving your water supply. Simple things like that. Now, Kenny says he's going to type up some canning information, canning 101 for preppers. That's an excellent idea, Kenny. If you send it to me, email it to me, I will put it on the CRN Facebook page and the ContraRioNetwork.com website. And because before we get done with that, before we do the show Saturday, people want to go on there, you know, click on it, whatever. We'll take care of it. You could read it and follow along so you can understand what Kenny's talking about. Now, when I'm talking about Ken doing canning, he's got the numbers down. He knows how many people and how many cans of food they'll need. He knows this stuff. He's talked to the Ball Jar Company. Yeah, he's going to say it to him. Okay, good deal. Kenny says, after shit hits the fan, how are you going to preserve food that first year harvest? You know what? That's important stuff, especially if you live in this crappy weather here in Illinois. It's abominable here. I can't stand it anymore half the time. However, in the wintertime, you better have food put away. You better have it. Okay. Oh, Ken's going to send it to me. Great, Ken. Email it to me. I'm going to put it together, information for the website, for the Facebook page. So if come next Saturday night, 8 o'clock, Contra Radio Network, on the Contra One Radio Report for you, the most responsible audience in podcasting. All right, I think that's it for our show tonight, really. We're going to try and keep it short and sweet. I know we've only been about an hour. That's all right. That's about our average, I guess. I want to say thanks to Ken and Todd for checking in. I always appreciate it, especially with Kenny. Kenny, your timing was impeccable tonight. Impeccable. Wonderful. Good deal. We've got stuff to roll on. So, be with us tomorrow night. And like I said, tell your friends about the show, about this show, what it is we're doing. Because, as I said at the beginning, and I'll say it again, every person that starts prepping now, starts doing it tomorrow, puts them ahead of, shall we say, 96% of the American public. How about of the general public here in the United States? There's nearly not that many preppers in the United States. There really isn't. But every time we can get one more person who listens to the show and decides, you know what, these guys are making sense to me, I'm going to start prepping. That's one less person that's going to be knocking on your door, knocking on my door. One less person I got to say no to because they weren't responsible enough and they'd rather live out their life at the regional FEMA camp, hoping and praying that the government supplies get through in time. Yeah, that's right. Kenny wants to put a note out before we shut down the show, and he says he will send it to me and others who can feel free to add to it, and we can all learn from each other, and he's absolutely right. So with that said, next Saturday, a week from tonight, we're going to do Canning 101 for preppers, and we're going to have stuff on the Facebook page and the website just for that show. You can listen in. You can follow along, print it up, make notes, whatever you want to do. And I highly encourage you to call in and ask Ken questions, because no question is stupid. The only question that's stupid is the one you don't ask, because now you don't know. But we're going to help you. We're not here to criticize you, ridicule you, or humiliate you. We're here to help you. That's why I do this show. That's why Kenny and I are in the same prepper group. We do things, we talk, we listen, we do things to help each other. Because the bottom line is this, goes down, shit hits the fan, two things are going to count in the world, loyalty and integrity. And if you can't rely on people in your prepper group, then you've had some fundamental problems from the get-go, you've just refused to acknowledge it. If you want to start a prepper group in your area, get a hold of us. Kenny and I will help you. We will help you. And I think that's all I got really to say for tonight. And Kenny is going to finish typing up something, and then, bang, we're going to end the show, and it'll be history. Episode 109 will be done. Let's see, what is Kenny saying? Oh, Lord, he's typing up a storm, I'm telling you. Here he goes. Kenny says, the more knowledge in your group, the better. And he's right. That's absolutely true. So, before Kenny will do next Saturday, I'll be back Wednesday night. Hopefully we'll have a guest call in. We're going to do a roundtable report. We will do a roundtable report. We'll get some guests that call in or just want to chit-chat. We can do that. At the Roundtable Report, in case you haven't heard from it for a while, we just talk about whatever comes up, and we don't pull any punches, and that's all right. Don't want to pull punches. We want to give you the truth of the matter and how to do it, because your life's on the line. My life's on the line. Your life's on the line. And if I give you false information, then I'm not doing what I told myself I was going to do with this show. Am I going to be right all the time? I hope I am. I may make a mistake, and if I make a mistake, I'll tell you one thing. This man will admit to it. I'll own up to it. But you also need to know I'm not a prepping expert. don't claim to be, don't want to be. First of all, I'm too old for that crap. Now, if you ask me when I was 23, oh yeah, I'll be a prepping expert. Go send me to the end of the planet to go, you know, live like a, you know, whatever it takes, and I'll come back and report to you. But that's not now. Now I just want to help you survive, to prepare you, your family, for a very possibly bleak future. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have a crystal ball. But I do know this. I know enough to start prepping, preparing. So with that said, I want to say goodnight to all of you. I need you to stay safe. I need you to stay alert. And I need you to stay vigilant. So with that said, I say goodnight. This has been the Contra One Radio Report here at the Contra Radio Network. I'm your host, John Jeffers, saying thank you for joining me tonight. I do appreciate it, Kenny. Thank you. And I'll get a hold of you very shortly. And we'll see the rest of you Wednesday, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, here from the tyranny state of Illinois. Talk to you then. All right, then. Good night, folks. Good night, Ken.
Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy! They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine & More. And more.